All right, let's start out in the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 1, and then we'll go to Revelation 4. So start out in Ezekiel, chapter number 1, and hold your place there. And get in the other hand to Revelation, chapter number 4. We'll start I don't know how many Wednesday nights, but anyway, we'll try this. And I may have touched on a few of these things before at our place, but Revelation, chapter 4. Have you ever wondered why four Gospels, why Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Why does Matthew tell some of the same stuff Luke does, and then Mark tells some of the same stuff John does? And then you've got four Gospels. Some of them tell the same story. Some of them tell the same story, just a little different. Some of them have the ascension in them. Some of them don't. Some of them, Matthew's got parables in them. John don't have any parables. Why four Gospels? And when you think about that, I want you to think about for a second, think about the book of Revelation and compare the book of Revelation with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as you well know already, if you've been in church any length of time at all, you already know that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are not end to end. And when I say that, I mean that Mark doesn't pick up where Matthew leaves off, and Luke doesn't pick up where Mark leaves off, and John don't pick up where Luke leaves off. They overlap, and they're parallel, and they overlap one another. So there are four accounts. There's four accounts of the first coming of Jesus Christ. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, then you go to the book of Revelation. Revelation has 22 chapters, and in those 22 chapters, you'll have four accounts of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, if a lot of people say, well, the book of Revelation is hard to understand. It's hard to understand. Well, once you get it fixed in your mind that the book of Revelation overlaps, just like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Picture Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all one book. Now, whatever you want to call it, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all one book, and when you read straight through, all the way through, you'll see some of the same stories, and they're overlapping. You read the book of Revelation, you do the same thing. You'll carry Revelation chapter number 6 will tell you about the second coming. Well, so will Revelation 19. It's telling you that the second coming don't happen twice. It don't happen three times. It don't happen four times. He just tells you about it four different times. It only happens once, and so there's four accounts of the second coming, and there's four accounts of His first coming. And so why Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Now let's look at Ezekiel chapter number 1, and let's look at these creatures, these beings, these cherubims, if you will, around the throne. Now look, in verse number 6, everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but here's verse number 10. Here's where we want to get to. As for the likeness of their faces, here's where we want to get to. They four had a face of a man. Okay, that's one. And the face of a lion, that's two. On the right side, and they four had a face of an ox. Okay, on the left side, there's a face of an ox. And then four, they had the face of an eagle. So here, around the throne, you've got these cherubims and these seraphim, these beings around the throne. Six-winged creatures. Two, they did fly. Two, they covered their face. And two, they, I think, covered their feet. But anyway, you understand, they had four different faces. One is a face of a lion. One, a face of an ox. One, a face of an eagle. And the other one, the face of a man. There's four different faces, this one creature. Now, look in Revelation chapter number 4. Let's look at them again in another light. Revelation chapter 4. Real quick, Revelation 4. You'll find there in Revelation chapter 4, in verse number 1, you'll find this. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it was a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you these things which must be hereafter. And then he starts talking about immediately I was in the Spirit, and on it goes. And then it starts talking about these beings in verse number 6. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, there's a frozen body of water before you get up there. And it's a sea of glass. And in the midst of the throne and around about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Sound like one of my elementary school teachers. Man, she could see everything. I mean, she could be writing on the blackboard, and she could be writing, and you throw something across the room, and she'd have eyes in the back of her head, and she'd know who done it. I believe this is one of my teachers. Verse number 7. Now watch. And the first beast was what? Watch the similarity. The first beast was like a lion, number one. The second beast was like a calf. Well, that'll match up with that ox over there in Ezekiel. And the third beast had a face of a man. All right, that's number three. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Well, that just matches perfectly with Ezekiel chapter number one. Now, let me give you an illustration if I can. And I hope I can use Brother Tony Lawrence here. And he's been wanting to get on television and on the DVDs. And we're going to do that for you today. And so, Tony, I wish that you would... Hey, and I really don't know what I'm going to do if he denies, because there ain't much I can do. He's a little bigger than I am. But, Tony, I wish you'd come and just stand right here in front of the people, just like you were joining the church again. And now turn around and face the crowd, Tony. Now, you people are looking at a statue of a man, and you're only seeing one side of this individual. Now, I want you to notice that you're just looking at the front side of him, but if you were one of those artists, or if you were one of those sculptors and you were going to make a clay or a statue of him, you would need four different angles to get the full picture of this one man. You understand on the back, turn around all the way to just face that way. You'll notice that back here don't have the same features as it had up front. It doesn't have a nose and a mouth. You see, understand, Matthew's got parables. That was on the front. But John don't have any parables on. But you got to have Matthew and John to get the full picture of Jesus Christ. Now, turn around sideways, face me. Now, there's another angle, and you'll be able to see how big his nose actually is. I'm just kidding. It's a good thing we're friends. Or at least we used to be. But you understand. Now, turn around and face that way. Now, you have seen all four sides of Tony Lawrence. And if you were able to do a sculpture or make a drawing, you could see all four sides. And you could not do one properly unless you had all four of those views. Now, thank you, Brother Tony. Now, you understand why four Gospels? Well, you've got to have all four sides before you can see the Lord Jesus Christ in His fullness and in everything, every aspect of the Lord Jesus Christ is found here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You'll see things in Matthew that you won't see in Mark. You'll see things in Mark you won't see in Luke, and thus and so. But all four Gospels are going to give you a picture and a type of the very same man. Now, I want to show you this. Most of you know this. If you went to the Bible Institute, you already know this already. And I'm not going to give you anything that you don't already know. But Matthew presents the Lord Jesus Christ as, anybody want to guess? As a king. Mark presents him as a servant. Now, somebody help me spell servant. S-E-R-V-A-N-T. Now, look, there's no shame in my game. If I don't know how to spell it, I'm going to ask you, even though it is being recorded. Luke presents him as the Son of Man. Everybody agree with that? And then John presents him as the Son of God. Now, over there in Revelation chapter number 4, we saw four faces to these individuals. In Matthew, we saw a face of a lion. Then we saw the face of a servant. No, compare Revelation 4 and a servant. Give me one of those faces that represents a servant. An ox or the calf. I think one place it says calf and the other is the ox. That's a servant. Oh, 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 will tell you about that servitude of an ox. The Son of Man. The face of a what? Man. And then in John, we had the other face, the only one left, is the eagle. Now, why four Gospels? Well, let's look. In Matthew chapter number 1, let's look at something. Matthew chapter 1, let's look here. Matthew chapter 1. Why four Gospels? Look at Matthew chapter number 1. Proverbs in Proverbs 30 and 30 says, a lion, which is the strongest among the beasts, and turneth not away for any. So I would probably venture to say that the lion is the king of the forest, would you not say? Anybody familiar with the Lion King? Everybody knows the lion is the king of the forest. Or no, the Lion King and the Wizard of Oz and all that kind of stuff, you know. The lion. He's the king of the forest. Matthew chapter number 1 and verse number 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ. We're talking about Jesus Christ. The son of, watch, who? Somebody tell me who David was. He was a king. Watch. The son of Abraham. Well, who lived before who? Abraham lived before David. But why is David before Abraham listed in Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 1? It's because Matthew presents him in the light as king. All right, you didn't like that one. Look. Matthew chapter 3, look here. Matthew chapter 3, here's a fellow comes on the scene, John the Baptist. John the Baptizer. He did not start the Baptist church. He was just the baptizer. That's why he was called John the Baptist, because he was John the Baptist. He was dunking people. Verse number 1, in those days of chapter number 3, Matthew, came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Verse number 2, this is what he was preaching. Repent ye for the what? The kingdom, and that's found in Matthew. He's preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Because Matthew is presenting him as king. Now, look at the end of Matthew. Look at the end of Matthew. Go to the end of Matthew. Matthew 28. Matthew 28. And let's see if we can find the ascension in Matthew chapter 28. Does anybody know where we can find the ascension in Matthew? Is it recorded at the end of Matthew? The ascension of Christ. Then why? Y'all believe the Lord ascended, don't you? Well, then why didn't Matthew record it? It's because a king don't ascend. He's going to go on the millennium. If Matthew is going to present him as king, he's not going to show the ascension because the king is not interested in ascending. He's interested in going right on into the millennial and right on into the throne of David and setting down and building a kingdom for the nation of Israel. Amen. That's what he's going to do. The king is not interested. Yes, he did ascend, but you'll have to turn him around and look at him somewhere else to find the ascension. You see, just like we did the illustration with Tony, you'll look and the facial features are here, but if you turn around the back, they're not in the back. You have to understand, the facial features are not here. The ascension's not here because the king is not going to ascend. Let's move on. Now, let's look at this. Look at Mark chapter number, you're right there at it. Mark chapter number 1. Mark chapter number 1, Mark represents him as the servant, which is represented by the face of an ox or the calf, the servant. That is a servant. Well, in Mark, anybody want to get, look, Mark is the birth of Christ in Mark. Where does Mark start? Mark starts, let's see, Verse number 9. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. No birth, no Bethlehem, no angels, no shepherds, no growing up, no back talking your mama when you're 12 years old, all that stuff is left out. Why? Why don't Mark give us a little birth? Why don't he give us, a little preview of what he was as a 12-year-old boy? It's because Mark starts out when he is starting his servant ministry. And Mark. That's why you don't see it. You say, preacher, you mean Matthew? Hey, look, you have to turn the statue around. That's why you got to have all four gospels telling you this, Dove, or you'll never see Jesus in his full, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his full capacity. You'll see things in Mark that you won't see. And this is why in Mark we'll see that as a servant's heart. A labor, if you will. John the Baptist, notice. Oh, let's see. Here we go. Verse number 3. John the Baptist comes. Verse number 3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Notice in Mark, he does not say, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What's John the Baptist say? You mean, preacher, there's conflict? You mean Mark and Matthew didn't sit down together and get the story straight before they wrote this stuff down? No, my friend. Matthew was presenting him in a light as a king. Mark is presenting him in a total different light. And if you think man can put this Bible together after what we see tonight, I mean, if you think they just sat down and said, hey, what story y'all want to tell? How are you going to tell it? You tell it this way and I'll tell it the other way. God had his hand in all of this, how they would present the Lord. Notice John the Baptist says in Matthew, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Mark, he don't say that. He says, what does he say? He says, John the Baptist in the wilderness, verse 4, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. He's preaching a repentance so you can be a good servant. Don't say anything about a kingdom. Ain't that odd? Well, let's look here in verse Mark 16. Look at Mark 16. This is just an overview. Mark 16. Let's look at the ascension in Mark 16. Mark 16. Look at the ascension in Mark. Mark 16. Let's look at verse 15. Mark 16, 15, and he said unto them, talking to the disciples, go ye in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And then he goes on and says a lot of different things about the sign gifts and all those kind of things. And look at verse number 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Then verse 20, watch this. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working. What's a servant do? What's a servant do? He works. A servant's work is never done. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. What does he say? He's given that ascension, and the commission of that ascension was, I'm going to work with you. My service is never going to be done. I'm going to be working with you. I'm going to be plowing in that field with you. Because Mark's presenting him as a servant. Well, let's look at the book of Luke. Look at the book of Luke. You're right there. Turn the page. Luke. Look at Luke. The book of Luke presents him as the Son of Man. Matches up with the face of that man. His humanity. You believe that God, Jesus was 100% God, 100% man. And so you've got two different books that's going to give you that. Luke's going to give you his humanity, and you'll find in Luke chapter number 2, you'll find his birth, and watch this. Hey, y'all remember, look at Luke 3. You remember Matthew's genealogy? Went back through the kingly line, through Solomon, through Joseph, all of that, and through Solomon and through King David. Matthew gives the genealogy of a king. Luke is fixing to give you the genealogy of his humanity through Mary, through Nathan. Luke chapter number 3, verse 23. Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed, that better be in your Bible, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli, which was the son, you know, and on it goes. Now watch, and all the, you know, you got, which was the son of, and that could be son, that could be grandson, that could be all kind of things, but watch verse 38. We're tracing his line, and it doesn't stop at David, but watch where it does stop. Verse 38, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of what? Goes all the way back to Adam. Adam was the first man, the first Adam. Jesus Christ was the last Adam. Luke doesn't give you the kingly line because Matthew did that. And if you want to see Luke, you've got to turn around like this. And you see, as Luke is presenting him on his humanity side through Mary and through all the way back to Adam. His human side. Amen. That's good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's good. Now, look at Luke 24. Let's look at this ascension. Luke 24. Look at the ascension. Luke 24 and verse number 46. And I'm cutting in a lot of context, but anyway, 46. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, humanity, suffer, and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. Watch. Verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye here in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them as far as Bethany, and lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Amen. Carried. He had to be carried. Because why? Why did he have to be carried up? Because he's the Son of Man. Why did Luke choose to use the word carried up? Because the Son of Man has to be carried. He just couldn't go. He had to be carried. That's why he's giving him the servitude. The Son of Man, not the servitude, excuse me. Son of Man had to be carried up because he's the Son of Man. That's the way Luke is presenting him. Now, let's look at John. Turn your page there, John. John represents him gives him in the light of being the Son of God. Watch, in John, no birth, no shepherds, no angels, no singing. I mean, you know, here we go. Watch, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. Word should be capitalized because it's talking about Jesus Christ. And the Word was with God, Watch, and the Word was... There he is right there. John's going to show you him being the Son of God. He doesn't start at the birth like Matthew does. He, Son of God. He's going to give you that light. The Son of God talks about all of these kind of things. In verse 14, the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And you'll see, He is represented as that eagle. Now, you say... Now watch, you say, well, what's the difference in the eagle and the lion? The lion is the king as long as he's standing on the ground. But somebody tell me who the king of the air is. A lion ain't going to kill no eagle unless he can catch him on the ground. That eagle will fly way beyond the sun, moon. I mean, he'll go way up there. I don't know about that far, but anyway, he'll go a long way where nobody get him. Son of God. That's him. The lion is the king standing on the ground. This fellow here is the high man in the air. Son of God. That's why he presents him in that way. Look at John 1:29. We're talking about John the Baptist. John the Baptist said in Matthew, hey, repent, the kingdom. Mark said what? repent and how you're going to be a servant. You're going to have to repent and get back all that stuff, remission of sins. Remember? What's John going to say? John 1:29 says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So all they're doing, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is just turning Jesus so you can see Him. All four sides of Him. Just like what those images and those creatures, not images, but the creatures around the throne in Revelation chapter number 4 had the face of a lion, had the face of an ox, had the face of a man, had the face of an eagle. Why? Because He's presenting you with Jesus Christ in four different lights so you can see Him in all four different areas. Now, I can tell some of you are not really enjoying that too well. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Look here. Hebrews chapter 10. I want to show you something else. Now, if this don't get you excited, I'm going to quit trying. Hebrews chapter 10. Oh, let's look at verse 19. Y'all do understand that the Old Testament tabernacle is a picture and a type and a foreshadow of Jesus Christ in the flesh tabernacle. Old Testament tabernacle, if you wanted a relationship with God, you had to come through the ministry of the tabernacle in the Old Testament. When Jesus stepped and walked up on this earth, the Word became flesh and dwelt, same word, tabernacled with us in His body. He ascended to the throne, and then what? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 takes effect, and we are the temple of God, which dwelleth in you. You understand? So in the Old Testament, we'll look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 19. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." Verse 20, "by new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil." That is to say, His flesh. Hey, did you know what that represents? You remember when Jesus Christ, we just talked about it a little bit ago, or a couple of Wednesday nights ago, about when Jesus died and hung on the cross, and when He died and gave up the ghost, the veil in the temple rent from top to bottom. Well, this right here, Hebrews 10 says, that is a picture of His flesh. And before this veil rent, Jesus Christ's flesh was rent from top to bottom so the veil could be opened for all to come in. And then the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. And this veil that kept you out, that said, stay out, you can't come in. When Jesus dies on the cross, that thing's laid open and says, come on in, all you heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. You ought to be shouting out. I mean, He says, come on in. Everything in the Old Testament says, stay out, you can't come in. But when Jesus died on the cross, it's laid open, said, come on in. Amen. But there's a lot of churches trying to keep you stay. They still want you to stay out. They want you to still stay out so you can come confess your sins to the priest and then I'll get your sins forgiven for you and, you know, pay a little bit. You know what I'm saying? You know. You be careful, them people are always trying to get you back in that Old Testament. They're trying to get you in that Old Testament. Where was I at? Oh, yeah. The veil in the temple was rent. This veil said, what did He say? Well, let's look what He said. Through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. All right? Watch this. Exodus 26. We'll find a stopping place. Exodus 26. Exodus 26. And look at this. Exodus 26. Oh, I think we got time to read it all, but watch. In verse 31. Exodus 26, 31. Ready? Hey, that veil in the tabernacle was what? A picture of Him, Jesus Christ, in the flesh. That's what Hebrews 10 said. Verse 31. Ready? "And thou shalt make a veil of blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen of cunning work, with cherubims shall it be made." Verse 32. "And thou shalt hang it upon" what? four pillars. You know what those four pillars are that's hanging that veil? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's the four pillars that's hanging that veil. So you can see him from all four sides. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then if you keep on reading, there's four sockets on each one of them things that hold that thing in place just like a shower curtain. If you pull that thing back, just a little socket thing, you stick that thing in, and it's like a shower curtain you pull back. And them things got four of them on them. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I ain't got time to show you just everything, but watch. I got time to show you one other thing. Look at Zechariah chapter 9. Real quick. I'm going to give you these and we'll quit. Zechariah 9. And I'm just trying to get a lot of people to say, well, why we got four Gospels? Why is there Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Why do they tell the same stuff? Why do they seem to contradict in some places? And some places they, you know, tell a different story and all this kind of stuff. Well, they're trying to tell you a different story in the way they're presenting the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of them present him as king, servant, and son of man, son of God. Watch Zechariah chapter 9. Watch. Verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Notice these three words right here. Behold thy what? Behold thy king. How are you going to behold the king? You've got to read Matthew. If you want to behold the king, read Matthew. If you want to behold the king, you have to read Matthew. Look at Isaiah 42. I'm going to give you these four, and that's it. Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. Verse number 1, the first three words. When you get there, somebody say them. Behold my servant. How are you going to behold the servant? You have to read Mark. If you want to behold the king, you have to read Matthew. If you want to behold the servant, you have to read Mark. Look at Zechariah 6. Back to Zechariah. If I'd have told you that just 2 seconds earlier. Zechariah. Good finger exercises. Zechariah chapter 6. Zechariah 6. Verse number 12. And speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, next three words. Behold the man. How are you going to behold the man? How are you going to behold the man? You have to read Luke. If you want to behold the man, if you want to behold the king, you read Mark. If you want to behold the servant, read Matthew is the king. And behold the servant, that's Mark. Luke, you're going to behold the man. I think Pilate said something about behold the man. Luke presents him in that way. Behold the man. All right. Last one, Isaiah 40. Yeah, I know you were just there, but Isaiah 40. I don't know that I wrote that verse down. Let's see if I can find it. Oh, John the Baptist is in the first part of that. Let me look. I didn't write the verse down. I wrote the chapter, but hang on. It'll take me a second to find it. How much? Oh, look at 10. Look at there. Behold the who? The Lord God. How are you going to behold the Lord God? You have to read John. Behold the Lord God. Behold John. Now, if you really want to get, you'll run that thing, study the branch. And the branch made the branch of king, the servant, the son of man, the son of God, all in the Old Testament. And then you match that up with 2 Kings chapter number 6, where the axe head fell in the water. Axe head fell in the water. That's the nation of Israel falling in the water. How are they going to get that axe head to swim? They cut them a branch out of the tree, stuck it in the water. That branch that Israel raised up. And got back in its rightful place. It was in a place. It fell. They got that branch out of that tree, stuck in that water, and the axe head did swim. Israel comes up and gets back in its rightful place in the millennium. Hey, we can spiritualize it this way if you didn't like that. Hey, you did fall too. And guess what? It'd take four Gospels to get you up now. Amen. It'd take four Gospels to get you out of it, to find you. I'm glad He found me one day. I don't know about y'all, but I'm glad He found me, and I'm glad He gave me all four so I can read them. You say, you know everything in there? I'm still looking. I'm still finding stuff. I mean, I'm telling you. If we got Tony back up here and turned him around, we'd see stuff we didn't see a while ago. Tony, you going to do that again? Tony's like, no. Hey, I'm glad I'm saved. Glad He brought me out. Glad He brought me out. Well, why four Gospels? Well, I don't know, but that's what I know about it. He gave us all four different lights. So you can see Him. So you can see Him in all His fullness and glory. Why four Gospels? All right.